I'm sorry, he's not in yet. Would you like his voicemail?
Yeah!
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss and Nick here with you once again. Before we get down on the Giants and their playoff berth, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at Gotham SN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. And of course, we are brought to you by Mojo. Mojo has over 300 NFL players listed, so you can invest in rising stars like Trevor Lawrence, who could lead the Jags to the AFC South title, or a guy like Daniel Jones, who's likely to be back with the Giants, or established superstars like Joe Burrow or Josh Allen, who are about to square off tonight in 30 minutes, actually, as we are recording this. Prices move with every play, every game, and every headline, and you can buy and sell instantly anytime all year long so the action never stops. Who knows? You could be the next lucky Mojo user to make 68 grand on Richie James. Mojo is live in New Jersey now. Download Mojo in the Apple App Store today and start turning playmakers into moneymakers. Must be 21 or older to use Mojo and located in New Jersey to make trades. Have a gambling problem? Help is available. 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit mojo.com for more info. The boat curse is broken.
The New York Giants are a playoff team.
They are a playoff team. And let me start this off by saying just how happy I am that not only are the Giants in the playoffs, but given my season-long hatred for the Indianapolis Colts, that it was them who the Giants got to curb stomp on their way to their first playoff appearance since 2016. So I'm thrilled. I think all of us here are thrilled as Penn State just scores a 80-yard touchdown on 3rd and 4. We can cut that. I was just commentating. Anyway, as the Giants are on their way to the playoffs for the first time since 2016, we're all thrilled. All right, Weiss, you were actually at the game, and I know you have some stories or anecdotes or excitement that you want to share. So I'll let you start.
I'll talk about that. But I want to talk about what the Giants accomplished on Sunday. Was it's been a remarkable season. One of the best seasons I've lived through as a Giant fan in a long time. Got to go back to the Super Bowl season. 2016 was sort of like a blimp because they spent a lot of money and it was like, okay, this is it, right? Like, you have to win this year. This season feels like the start of something special for the Giants, and I don't want to talk ahead, and I promised I wouldn't, but it just feels different. The atmosphere at MetLife Stadium, it was different. Brian Daboll is different from past Giant head coaches. Joe Shane is different, obviously, from prior Giants GMs. What they've been able to accomplish this year, the work that they've done with this roster, particularly the quarterback, is phenomenal. The quarterback in himself has been phenomenal from where he was at the beginning of the season to where he is now, playing himself not only into a franchise tag, but a potential contract extension in the biggest game of the season. That's what this was. Regardless of the opponent, this was the biggest game, because if the Giants lose this game, they're now playing the Philadelphia Eagles in a win and in game, while the Eagles are also playing for the number one seed. He was phenomenal. 4 touchdowns, 2 on the ground, 2 rushing. Really put the offense on his back. And I know it's the Colts, but the Colts defense is not bad.
They're not pushovers.
Yeah, they're not pushovers at all. I was talking to somebody at the game who wasn't as familiar with the Colts, and I said, look, I know all the talk about the Colts offense and their quarterback and Jeff Saturday, but they have a good defense, and Stephon Gilmore is a lockdown corner. So when you have a guy that can lock down one side of the field, given the Giants' passing game is already struggling all season, they're not pushovers, like you said, but he played phenomenal. I think he's earned the right to be back next year. I think he will be back next year. We saw that. Words can't describe how awesome it felt to clinch a playoff spot, to get into the playoffs, and to do it. You know, it's one thing, like, you know, the Giants got help from somebody else. You know, these two teams lost, and the Giants are now, you know, in the playoffs. The Giants handled their business. They went to Washington on a sunny night after a disappointing tie, and what did they do? They beat the Commanders, took care of their business. right? And then they needed one more win, and they got it at home. This was the game. They did it, taking care of their own business. That's what's so awesome about this. And their offense, I think, looks a lot better than what it has early in the season. They look very functional. 31 points, first time the offense scored 31 points since the Chase Young Bowl. Shout out to Justin Pennick, who brought that up to me during the game. They did score over 30 points against the Cowboys in 2020, but that game had a defensive touchdown. Shout out to Justin Pennick. No, but it's thrilling. The Giants are in the playoffs. This is amazing. This is how you build culture. This is how you build a winning culture. This is what it's all about. Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, amazing. I'm so thrilled. I mean, it's been 24 hours and I'm still in, like I can't believe we did it. Like, we're in the playoffs.
Yeah. Let's talk about the quarterback. Been a topic of conversation all season. I think it's especially applicable right now. We can back up to even before the game. Ian Rappaport dropped a report that I found very interesting, that the Giants want both Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley back. And the caveat, I believe the exact verbiage was, quote unquote, at the right price. So you can interpret that however you like. My interpretation is that some statement like that was very obviously leaked by the Giants organization as some sort of bargaining chip. A lot of people were speculating that this might have been a motivational tool. I don't think anyone in that locker room needs a motivational tool for a game where they can clinch the playoffs for the first time in years. So to me, that is Joe Shane playing his cards and saying, all right, like what we've seen from the quarterback, but we sort of acknowledge like this team is still far away in a lot of different areas. And because of that, if we're going to bring back a running back who at various points this season has been a little banged up, who has slowed down a little bit, and we're going to bring back our quarterback who we probably don't want to franchise tag because we don't want to lock up over $30 million in him for 1 year. Let me throw this out there and we'll see what happens. So I think that that was a bit of a public bargaining chip. And then Daniel Jones goes out there and earns every penny of Joe Shane's hypothetical contract. And not much can be said. You know, I know the Colts, especially on offense, have been miserable this year. Their defense, I think I even gave them credit during the last primetime game for just not giving up, despite how atrocious the offense was. Like, if I was a player on that defense, I'd be pissed going out there every week knowing that I have to rely on Matt Ryan, Nick Foles, Sam Ellinger to pick up a singular first down so that I'm not
clocked
gassed.
They've clocked out.
Right, but I'm just saying, you know,
yeah.
Week 17, it's understandable. But even when the team is hopeless and you're gunning for a top pick and you know the future quarterback's not on the roster, like, they still gave it their all every week. And we were speaking about this. It's not a pushover group.
No.
So, and again, even if you do think that the Colts defense is a pushover group and they're not good, what do good players and good teams do? They win and leave zero doubt. And that's what the Giants did against the Colts on their way to the playoffs. So kudos to Daniel Jones. Weiss, I know we spoke about this last week or 2 weeks ago, where your theory was if they clinch the playoffs, he's back. And I think I disagreed, and my caveat was if they win a playoff game, then I definitely think he's back. Otherwise, I'm still unsure. I think that game sort of solidifies it to me. Yeah. That Ian Rappaport report solidifies it to me. Daniel Jones is absolutely going to be back next year. He's going to be the Giants quarterback next year. The only question is in what capacity. Is it going to be a franchise tag? Is he going to take a three-year deal? Or are they going to really break the bank, at least on term, and make him the quote-unquote franchise guy? And I know one of the things that I've sort of speculated is there's so many different sides to this negotiation, right? Like, yeah, like, this is what we think the Giants should do, but does Daniel Jones want to do that? You know, this is what Daniel Jones wants to do, but is this what Joe Shane wants to do? I think we're sort of at the point where it's mutually beneficial for him to come back.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I know that there are some people saying, well, why would he just take the Giants offer? Why would he not shop himself? He has familiarity here now, right? Yeah. He had the backing of ownership even after his miserable first few seasons. Mm-hmm. They come in, they bring in Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, and Mike Kafka. And right. It would have been very easy. I mean, listen, I know that they declined the fifth year option, but he went out there and he proved it.
But which was the right decision, by the way.
Yeah, at the time, of course. Was right, yeah. But what it sort of says is, we are giving you a chance, and you have to earn it. And it was very easy for them to just be like, you know what? We don't like this guy. We know we don't like this guy. Terod Taylor is going to start. We're going to bring in whoever the fuck else, because this is basically a lost season. And we'll see what happens. And they didn't do that. They are now putting the ball in his hands. They're letting him throw it. They're running the offense through his arm now. And for him, I think you have to say, like, I am with one of the most innovative GMs, really good play callers. They understand my game, my strengths, my weaknesses. They're maximizing it. Like, I want to be back.
A head coach with a track record of working with other quarterbacks.
Yeah. Like, if you're Daniel Jones, you want to be back. And I don't think that this is going to be some crazy back and forth negotiation, some, you know, whatever. And like I said, whatever Joe Shane decides will have my full support. And I stand by that.
I completely agree with you. That's the biggest thing here is it's not just about this year. We've been saying that all season long. It's not just about what happens, but when they repeatedly are giving you reasons to believe in them, like every single time the Giants got the ball down in the red zone yesterday, you kind of felt like it was going in, that whatever they wanted to do on offense, they were going to be able to do it. And now that we're having a good argument here, it's not whether or not Daniel Jones sucks or not. It's whether or not he deserves to stay. We have made progress, which is ultimately the goal in any rebuilding season. You might have your answer to, is our quarterback of the future on our roster? They probably do have the quarterback of the future on the roster in Jones, and you can build around him, and you can tailor this offseason around what you want to do with him going forward. You can get another receiver or two in here. You can get another tight end in here. You can improve the interior of the offensive line. And then it's not a matter of, is the quarterback good or not? It's how good can the quarterback be, which is really the linear progression of this. Instead of starting the clock over that we need a new quarterback and to start that timer over, if you've got a guy, you got a guy. Now it's just a matter of maximizing what he is already.
Right.
Repeat that line again, what you said. It's not a matter of whether he's good or not. It's a matter of
how good he can be.
That's the most important thing here. Is I think Daniel Jones has showed this season that he's a good quarterback. The question now is, as his environment gets better, how good is he going to be? And, you know, you talk about whether or not he wants to stay. I mean, why would he want to leave Brian Daboll? I mean, Brian Daboll has been the best thing that's happened to Daniel Jones's career. I mean, just imagine if they had decided to bring Joe Judge back. Where is Daniel Jones right now? Like, what are we saying about him?
Matt Patricia is his offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I know. you think about these scenarios, and you're like, okay, if Daniel Jones goes and explores other options, well, what are the realistic options? They're going to be suitors. Washington, possibly the New York Jets, possibly the Carolina Panthers, possibly the Indianapolis Colts,
New Orleans.
The Raiders, like, there's going to be teams out there that will be interested in Daniel Jones, but it's like, why would you want to leave that? And I don't think that, and on the flip side is the Giants don't have the luxury to let him go. The worst thing that could happen to the Giants right now is if they don't bring Daniel Jones back and he goes somewhere and flourishes. Well, you took the bumps for 4 years with the guy only for him to walk out the door and go somewhere else. And, you know, the flowers blossom with him. You just can't afford for that to happen. I think he's proven, like you said, Nick, the thing coming into the season was getting clarity on who Daniel Jones is. Well, we got clarity that, you know, he at least deserves to be this team's starting quarterback for the next years. And another thing is, and I think one of the most underrated things about this whole situation is Daniel Jones has the backing of the locker room. Like, this isn't a situation where, like, there's doubt about him in the locker room. These players, they believe in him. They believe in his ability. They see his work ethic. They see how much work he puts in. They are behind the quarterback. That's important. That's very, very important. And you can see across the hall with the Jets how that just destroyed their season. So he's earned it. He was phenomenal. The curtain call was great for him for his career. I mean, regardless how you feel about him as a quarterback, he's been through a lot in his career, different coaches, different coaching staff, the toxic environment the Giants were, just the absolute dumpster fire. And for him to get that, that's awesome. Now it's a matter of him in the playoffs. And here's the thing, one other thing I'm going to say about Daniel Jones. I am not worried about Daniel Jones as a quarterback anymore. Like, I don't go into big games thinking, man, is this guy going to show up or not? you know, what type of, like, I know he's going to show up. It's just a matter of, will the guys around him show up? Will Richie James show up? Richie James showed up last week. You know, he didn't show up against Minnesota. He had a big drop. Is Isaiah Hodgins going to show up? Is Daniel Bellinger going to show up? That's what I am now concerned with. But like Ethan said, you play, the offense has been better playing through Daniel Jones. And in the month of December and January, when the team needed the wins, he got them. They're in the playoffs. And, you know, he deserves to be the Giants quarterback of, you know, now and the future. The future can be anywhere, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, who knows. But I think Jones has earned that.
I want to give a shout out to Landon Collins.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Pick six was awesome. I mean, I'm so happy.
That game, that the Colts game was, you couldn't script it any better.
Yeah.
You could not script that any better. That's what you wanted. And Collins, the pick six. You killed a lot of emotional people in that stadium when he got that pick six. It was crazy because a lot of people didn't realize it was him.
Were you emotional wise? Was that
you? Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was. At the end of the game and during that. Yeah. Listen, man, it's tough. It's been tough, man. You know that, Ethan. It's been the last four, like, forget about the last 5 years. Since 2011, after that Super Bowl, it's just been, I was telling somebody this. I said, you know, taking care of your own business. You know, you go back to 2012, right? After the Super Bowl season, they have a shot to go back to the playoffs. They lay an egg on Monday Night Football against the Washington Redskins. RG3 basically lights them up. You know, 2013, they start 0-5, 0-6. They sort of get back into the division game. They got a big divisional game against the Dallas Cowboys. It was a cold day. I remember I was at that game too, windy. They lay an egg and lose that game. Don't be able to go to the playoffs. 14 was a tough year. 15, same thing. They're 5-6, I believe, coming out of a bye against Washington. You win that game, you're in the driver's seat of the division. What happens? They lose. You know, they had 16 with the shopping spree. 17 was terrible. 19 and whatever. 20, same thing. Division is bad. You have a chance to win the division. It's all in front of you. What happens? They fall apart. It was nice to finally just, we did it on our own. It wasn't like, you know, we didn't get the help from other teams like Pittsburgh is getting. No, we took care of our own business. And that's a sign of changing times. More than anything else, that's a sign that shit is actually changing around here.
You look at the team, man. You look who's in these games making these plays. It's the guys they've drafted the last couple of years, and they are getting so much out of so little. They are out there with so many third and fourth string defensive backs, and they are finding ways in these games to win them. And yes, you can only win against who's on your schedule. No, right. The Colts are an impressive team, but they body bagged them. They ran them out of the building and said, we're better than you, and we're going to beat the shit out of you on the way out the door too.
They've also hung with the good teams too. I mean, they hung with Minnesota. I mean, these are playoff teams they're likely going to face. In the first half, they hung with the Dallas Cowboys. They hung with the Dallas Cowboys the first time in week three, even though it was Cooper Rush. They beat the Green Bay Packers. We see where the Packers are. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. We know where the Jaguars are.
They beat the Titans.
I mean, they've shown that they can hang with these guys. Not just beat them, but hang with them. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely. I mean, who in the NFC truly scares you?
Nobody.
That you think that you – okay. That's a lie. The 49ers. No, no, no. The 49ers.
Well, no. In terms of like me going into the game and saying there is a 0% chance that the Giants can win the game.
Well, zero, no. Like
San Francisco. They would get smoked by San Francisco.
It would not shock me if they beat San Francisco. Not because I think they're as talented. They're not talented, but it's a Brock Purdy. It's a third string quarterback. You don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs.
Doesn't matter. They would run for 500 yards.
They will. They could win a game 9-3 and 9-7. Yeah, absolutely. But do I think the Giants keep it close? Yeah. Yes.
But that's a different argument than can they win? That's the thing.
Well, if you can keep a game close into the fourth quarter, you can win.
Like if they were to play Minnesota again, I would expect them to win.
They will beat the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs.
If they were to play the 49ers, I would not expect them to win.
Oh, okay. I'm with you, but I'm not saying they there's no way they can beat the 49ers. No, I think they can hang with these teams. They are going to beat the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs.
100%.
I'm telling you right now. Write it down.
100%. I do not want to see the 49ers. That's all I'm saying.
No, absolutely.
It's wide open. Just get in.
Just get in. Give yourself a shot. 60 minutes. It's still surreal. And then the playoffs.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Oof.
I saw the whole thing.
Jeff Saturday is a baby.
He is a baby.
You lost. You got your ass kicked. Wear your L, and that's it. This isn't TV.
What, You're not what going... the, One thing I'm going to say is Jeff Saturday's right. I was really surprised no Colts linemen tried to get in. Like they
well, yeah.
they did not. Like they were just like, do whatever you want to do, man. Like it was because there was like 2-3 offensive linemen standing right there as he's doing the Snow Angels, and like nobody's like I don't know what the TV did, whether they went to commercial break right away, but like as he's doing the Snow Angels, there's literally 2 linemen just standing right in front of him, and they're just nobody's like, yo, what the. It's not something to joke about, but Nick Foles
I turned on ESPN today to start watching the bowl games. First Take was on.
Yeah.
Kayvon Thibodeau. You got Ryan Clark and someone else who I don't know just yelling at each other.
They had a problem with what he did?
Oh yeah. Ryan Clark did.
They got their notes from the producer 5 minutes before the segment. You're arguing that side. Yeah, I don't take any of those seriously.
You got to have something to talk about. I don't think he.
Yeah, man. No. He made a big play. He's been getting better every week. The more he gets involved, the more noticeable
he was unblockable. There were many times you saw him line up. There was always, you know, somebody there to help. There were double teams. Kayvon Thibodeau is, what did you call him, Ethan?
He's a cornerstone.
Yeah, he is that. He is a cornerstone.
Dexter Lawrence blowing up Quentin Nelson. Oh, just absolutely taking his lunch.
I have a theory on something, and I want to run it by you guys.
All right.
I believe no offensive lineman, or I believe Quentin Nelson, who's typically one of the guys that you would expect to do something about somebody doing what Kayvon Thibodeau did, didn't do anything because he realizes that he will probably be traded this offseason.
He's checked out. He's checked out.
And not just checked out, but he's like, hey, maybe New York's in my future.
Stop.
Yeah, you're digging a little too much into it.
You're basically you're stealing my tweet.
I am.
Yeah.
You are. I put that together with that. I was shocked.
I was shocked at how many people disagreed with that.
Nelson. Oh, he's bad, dude.
He's not been good this year. He hasn't been that good.
Yes, he has, and the contract is really not that bad relative to what other guards and offensive linemen are going to be paying, especially if you draft well at receiver and other like sexy positions the next 2 years. You would have one of the best offensive lines in the league. Draft a center, Quentin Nelson playing next to Andrew Thomas, Evan Neal develops on the right side. Like, you would have one of the best offensive lines in the league.
I just don't think that's a position you're going to commit that much to. Like, the Giants aren't in a position to be trading assets for players.
So we're talking about Kayvon Thibodeau as cornerstone, Quentin Nelson cornerstone.
I'm sort of with him on that. He hasn't been good this year, but
he's 27, 28. He's getting 19, no, he's 20 not. Million a year.
He's 26.
I think it's his 20, fifth season 20, in the league.
26. He's going to be 27 next year, but that's not old for guards play until they're 35.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
When I saw your tweet, I sort of connected that with what I saw him do, and I'm like,
package deal. Give me Nelson and Michael Pittman, and see you later, Jeff Saturday.
It was a great day at MetLife Stadium. You guys missed out.
It was so loud on TV. I would have needed earplugs. The headache I had Sunday morning watching football,
brother,
was not pleasant.
It was such a beautiful day. Such a beautiful ride up. No traffic. Nobody was on the road. I was on the road at 7. There was nobody on the road. So let me tell you what happened. I went to sleep on New Year's Eve at like 4 a.m. I got home at like 2, but I just couldn't fall asleep. I was watching something on Netflix. And then I woke up at like 7. I'm like, oh, shit, I got to go. So I took a shower, tried to wake myself up. I was on the road. I got to about Delaware. And I said, oh, shit, I got a notification on my phone. Giants saying I got a print parking pass. You can't just show them the phone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck. So I'm like, okay, it's New Year's Day. Everything is fucking closed. You know, UPS is closed. You know, all those places you can go to print something, they're all closed. Yeah. I pull into the Delaware Welcome Center. Now, if anybody, I don't know if you guys know about the Delaware Welcome Center. It's a nice rest area. It's right in the middle of 95.
I appreciate a nice rest area.
Yeah, it is a nice rest area. I think they named it after Joe Biden, too, because he's from Delaware. But anyways, pull up in there. There's like a resource center, like a resource desk. You know, like the people that you can ask for directions.
Hello, ma'am. I've just randomly arrived in Delaware as a tourist, and I would like some things to do.
And by the way, all these restaurants are
never
closed.
Understood that.
Like there's like 4 or 5 restaurants, they're all closed. So I go to her, I'm like, listen, she got a computer right behind her too. I'm like, listen, I'm a little bit of a thing. And before I could even tell her, she's like, I don't have cash. I'm like, no, I'm not asking for money. I'm like, I'm not asking for money, ma'am. So she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, 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 it's okay. I'm like, listen, I'm, you know, going to Jersey, got this thing, gotta get to the game, I gotta print the parking pass, blah, blah, blah. She goes, I'm sorry, I can't do it. My printer, my computer is not working. And she points to the computer behind her, and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, well, do you know anywhere I could go? Because, you know, things are closed. And she's like, and she doesn't answer my question. She just says, I hate how everything is closed on New Year's Day. And I'm like, yeah.
You gotta consider the type of person that's working like the Delaware rest stop on New Year's Day.
It's not at the resource center. I was like, listen, I got you. But I'm like, she's like, well, listen, go to the Popeyes and ask for this lady. And this lady's name is like Michelle. I'm like,
okay. No way.
I swear to God. So I go to the thing. I go to the Popeyes. It's closed, by the way. It's like 10:30.
When do they open?
11.
11?
Yeah. So as I get there, she's like, we're closed. I'm like, I got it. I'm not here for the chicken.
I'm here for the parking pass.
So I'm like, listen, I'm in this situation, you know, and before I even start, I'm like, listen, I'm not asking for money, but I'm in the situation because, you know, I got trained up from the last, you know, I'm like, she's like, okay, what can I do? I'm like, you know, I got this situation. I got to print this parking pass, blah, blah, blah. She goes, okay, sure. Email it to this email. She gives me an email. It's like something at Popeyes.com, whatever.
So I think unbelievable.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, I'll be right back. She gives it to the guy. There's this other guy working there, Alejandro. Good guy. Alejandro goes, prints the thing, comes back, took care of him, gave him a 20, told him thanks, happy new year, blah, 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 on the road. On the road, get to the game. Great game. Obviously, everything happens. After the game, Justin Penick invites me to the Candlewick Diner. By the way, great fucking diner. You ever been there?
Oh, you went to the diner. Nice.
I did. It's a great diner. I'm definitely going to go there again. But anyways, go to the diner, blah, blah, blah. Nicky Snacks is there. Nicky Snacks actually got kicked out of the game in the second quarter.
He gets kicked out of every game.
Yeah. So I get there and I'm like, you know, hey, Nick, he gives me a hug. And I think he almost
broke. That's what he does.
He almost broke my jaw.
Par for the course.
Oh my God. He almost broke my jaw. I'm like, dude, and it was hurting this morning. I was literally like, I was struggling to chew my bagel because it was hurting. I was like, man, this guy fucking nailed me. I felt like I got punched in the face. I've never been punched in the face before. I feel like it's something like this. But anyway, sit down.
First time get punched in the face, ask Nicky. He'll do it.
Yeah, with his fucking elbow. His shoulder. Anyway, sit down, you know, having a good time. Individual that's with Nicky Snacks, I think the menus were getting picked up. I think she had a couple of, I'm not going to say, but anyways, giving the menus to the waitress after we ordered, and she's her wine glass spills, and like it was like a Final Destination type shit, like all the glass just fucking came in my direction. I dodged like a piece, but then another piece hit my pinky finger, and brother, I never seen that much blood before in my life.
Oh my God.
And my finger's bleeding. Waitress comes over. I'm like, listen, she's freaking out. I'm like, it's all right, don't worry about it, it's just a pinky finger, I'll be all right. You know, I get the Band-Aid, everything. By the way, that diner has some awesome-ass fucking Band-Aids. The heavy-duty Band-Aid. No, it was legit. It was a heavy-duty Band-Aid. I took it off at night, and it. So that was that. Great experience. Had to go through.
You gave some blood for this team to get the playoffs, yeah, too, right? Exactly. Yeah. Pat yourself
it was a business trip. I had some people. I had a couple people hit me up in the DMs. Hey, I want to meet you. I told them to come over to the L16. It's kind of weird when people ask you to take pictures, but you know, whatever. Yeah. But it was nice. Good environment. Giants clinched a playoff berth. That was a story. It was a business trip.
Business trip.
And might be speaking too early, but good chance I will fly to Minnesota if they play the Vikings.
Really?
And,
okay.
Yeah, and schedule permits. Yeah, I'm all in on this, baby.
Remind me how this works. It's been a while. If they beat Minnesota, is next round at home?
No.
They're a wild card.
Right. So they would be in
San Francisco.
So let's say that it's 1, Eagles, 2, 49ers, 3, Vikings, 4, Bucks, 5, Dallas, 6, Giants, 7, Green Bay, right? The lowest seed.
Green Bay, by the way.
Yeah.
Wow.
If the Giants are the lowest seed to get to the second round, they go to Philly. if they're the higher seed. I don't can they even be the higher seed? I don't know how that works. It's weird.
Well, yeah, if Green Bay wins, they could be the higher seed.
Yeah, but then we one team gets a bye, so
yeah.
So two plays what, seven? Two plays seven, yes. Right? Two plays seven, three plays six, four, five. So they go, they reseed after the first round. So they, if they win, they'll likely go to what, Philly, give or take. Yeah. Or if Green Bay wins, they'll go, I don't know, San Francisco, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But most likely Minnesota than Philly. But I am going to Minnesota. I'm going to Minnesota. It's a great stadium. Great
city. You ever been?
No, that's where I want to go. I heard good things about it. Oh, one other thing. You guys know how much I talk about MetLife Stadium, right?
Yeah, I don't understand the love you have for it.
Well, listen to this. Listen to this. I got a bone to pick with it. In MetLife Stadium, before I got there, I'm starving. Having only had a cup of coffee and a bottle of water at the rest area that I stopped at to print the paper, the parking pass. So I'm starving.
Because Popeyes wasn't open except for their printer.
Yeah, I'm starving. So after after we go into the stadium, I also had a good conversation with the entertainer. I'm not going to call him the entertainer because I'm
entertainer.
I'm 32 years old. I met the entertainer. We had a great conversation. His name is Chris, I think.
Yeah.
Exchange pleasantries. Going to the stadium. I'm at the, you know, I'm trying to get some food. That one line that has like all like the pretzels and hot dogs. I don't eat hot dogs, by the way, but the chicken nuggets and all that shit. I was like, I'm not going to wait in that long line. There's another small stand that sells cheesesteaks.
They do have mobile ordering, by the way. There are some stands you can do the mobile order and go pick it up.
Yeah. Get to the cheesesteak line. It's not that long. Order a cheesesteak. I see the entertainer. I'm like, I'm not trying to finish this whole cheesesteak. I was like, okay, let's split it. All right, sure. Yeah, I'll split it with you, blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
Get the cheesesteak. I'm like, hey, can you cut it in half? No, I can't cut it in half. Why can't you cut it in half? Well,
this is the concession person?
Yeah. I was like, can you cut it in half? I'm splitting with my guy. Yeah, I offered it to him, so I can't be like, hey, they're not cutting it in half, and I'm not trying to, you know, I can't, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to split a cheesesteak in half? I mean, I got no knife. So I'm like, can you cut the cheesesteak in half? No, I can't cut the cheesesteak in half. Why can't you cut the cheesesteak in half? I don't have a knife. Well, just use the flipper thing. You know, the flipper thing that they use to make the meat.
Spatula.
And
chop
the meat? Yeah, what episode of Seinfeld is this?
This is literally an episode of Seinfeld.
I'm like, just cut the, I can't cut the cheesesteak.
You so got a whole kitchen behind you and you got no knife.
Well, I'm like, I offered this guy a half of my cheesesteak. I can't be like, heck, I'm not doing it. So I was like, hey, listen. Take the whole cheesesteak. I'm going to get myself another cheesesteak. All right. So he's like, no. I'm like, listen, just take it, brother. Go to your seat. So gave it to him. Good guy. I would not have offered him a cheesesteak if he was somebody else, but he's a good dude. So, and he didn't ask me for it. I just saw him and I was like, hey, let's split this cheesesteak. So anyways, give him a cheesesteak. Now I don't have a cheesesteak, right? So I go back in line. Line is now actually a little longer. I'm like, oh, fuck. It's 12:51 kickoff, right? I'm already a little bit nervous because this is still the Giants, right? You got to be nervous for every game. Get to the thing. Let me get a cheesesteak. Sure. Got the cheesesteak. Got the whiz. Take one bite of it. And it was the worst thing I've ever eaten in my life. I paid $15. Huh? I paid $30 for two cheesesteaks. I only took one bite out of one.
It's like getting a steak sandwich at Citi Field where it's ice cold because it's been sitting there for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Brother, I threw that cheesesteak away quicker than you could say boo. it was a terrible cheesesteak. It was so bad. I was like, maybe I should put some ketchup on it. I love ketchup. No, it's just, it was bad. I threw it away. That was the only bad, outside of my finger getting cut, but that was the terrible, I mean, the cheesesteak, MetLife Stadium. You're too nice of a stadium to have that.
It's nice not a nice stadium. It's not a nice stadium.
It's too nice of a stadium to have.
Prison toilet.
To have that terrible cheesesteak.
So. They literally have sliders.
On MetLife Stadium. Oh my God.
They literally have sliders because both teams share a stadium that go from Jets to Giants for the retired numbers. That's
one other
a nice
thing.
Stadium.
One other bone to pick in the bathroom, the stalls. I mean, could they get the things up? You know, in between the bathroom stalls, they have that little wall. Like, yeah. Could we at least get those? Because I'm standing and I'm trying to piss.
And you're basically looking over.
Yeah. I mean, it's like in my face. You know,
making eye contact.
Bro, here's the thing, some of these people, like, you can get a little bit closer, all right? Like, come on, man, just like get a little bit closer, like trying to like cover, you know, I'm at an angle trying to like,
Weiss, you ever consider that?
I'm trying to get the N1 because I'm not trying to like, you know, But it was filled up, and I kept like, and I looked like an asshole because I walked toward the end, and then the guy would be there, and I'd be like, oh, let me turn around,
and right, look at, and then other people are already going to the open one,
and I looked like an asshole standing in the middle of the bathroom, and I was like trying to look, it was, do they have the stall, the bathroom stalls? No, it was a fun day.
I'm sure it was, and then you got your gas pumped for you.
I did, New Jersey. That's so clutch that they do that, man. I wish Maryland did that. Do you guys tip the gas station guy?
Well, I don't live in Jersey,
I'll give him a buck. I'll give him $2. Yeah.
I have to ask, is that a common thing? Because I grew up on
Long Island. I'm asking you guys.
I grew up on Long Island, and pretty much everywhere I go, like personally, since I was able to drive, like I'm just like, fuck it. I'm going to get out. Self-serve. Like I'm not waiting for anyone. Like I'm just going to do it, get out.
Right.
And then my wife and I lived in Jersey for 3 years, and every time we would go get gas, she's like, oh, do you have like a couple bucks to tip the guy? I'm like, no, like, is that a thing? Like, is that?
It? Yes. Okay. Because Jersey and Oregon are the only two states where legally someone else has to pump it for you. So
I do that one time. That's a job. I did that one time. I was at the rest area with like, there's like 15 different lanes.
Yeah.
And the guy wasn't there. And I'm like, I'm just going to pump my own gas. I'm not waiting. So I got out. I pumped my own gas. I tried to do my own thing. And the guy's like, you don't stay in your car.
No way. You got scolded.
Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm just pumping the, no. New Jersey law. I'm like, all right, buddy, whatever you say. So I just sat in my car.
That's true. It is law.
It is. He wasn't lying to me. I mean, he was very stern with me too. So I said, he did it for me. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought I'd just do it myself.
Isn't it also no gas tax in Jersey?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's why it's cheaper there.
Yes, correct.
It is pretty cheap. Even in
Maryland, I think it's because there's no tax. I think Connecticut actually just lifted their gas tax ban. Like they temporarily suspended it.
I love the drive up. So New Jersey, pump gas.
You're a lunatic, bro. You're talking about Delaware, Maryland, and New Jersey. That's a nice view. Come on, man.
No, not the view, just the drive. It's a nice drive. Straight up the road.
If you say so.
You ever did the drive from DC to Maryland or New Jersey, New York to DC?
Bro, I've driven everywhere. Drive to fucking Florida. I'll drive anywhere.
Yeah.
I bet the Florida drive is nice from New York all the way to Florida.
I'm not looking forward to that.
You just add 4 hours to my 12 hours. Right? Correct. You guys are about 4 hours away from me, give or take.
Yeah.
So that was my thing. It was a great trip. Got a lot of help. I faced a lot of adversity. Overcame a lot of adversity. No print, no. And by the way, I get to the stadium and I'm in line for the parking thing. And I see, and the lady whips her phone out, and the lady scans it. I'm like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? You just sent me a notification saying I got to print.
I think they do make some exceptions.
I was like, what the hell? Had a nice conversation with a New Jersey State Trooper. Told him, how you doing? He said, good. I said, happy.
I got to say, all right. Last time I was at the game.
Yes.
Their uniforms.
I was just about to say that. Little excessive.
It's like, I'm saying this as a Jew. Very Third Reich.
That's the joke from The Departed. Do you always look like you're going to invade Poland? That's the joke Matt Damon makes to the other guy. Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah, brother, it's very like over the top.
I felt like I was going through like a border, like to another country.
Yeah. In the apartment building we used to live in, there used to be someone who was a state trooper, and I'd see him like walk out. I'm like, oh my god, like I woke up in the Wolfenstein video game or something.
Yeah, man, he had the hat on.
The hat is ridiculous. The hat is absolutely ridiculous.
It's the whole getup, especially in the winter when they have the trench coat over. It's like extra, beyond extra. So
it was New Jersey goes all out, man, with all that stuff. Pump your own gas. The cops dressed like, you know,
Nazis, whatever. Yeah. Like,
you said it, not me. You're the Jew in here. I'm not.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was great. It was great. A lot of fun. That's why I'm going to Minnesota, man. Might go with somebody. Might go with Snacks. We'll see. I've been texting back and
forth. That's how you wind up on the no fly list.
No. Well, he's going from New York. I'll meet him there.
Okay. Fair.
Well, I've been talking to him. We'll see. I got to see how the schedule is going to be like. Maybe if it's a Saturday game, I could do it. Sunday will be a little bit tough.
Yeah.
Monday, fair. No way. But yeah, I definitely have plans for that. But listen, great Giants win. This is what you want. I like how confident you guys are feeling too about this Minnesota game. I like it.
I will say though, it's very much a combination of like, I think the Giants offense is like hot at the right time. And also, I think Minnesota is very fraudulent. Like, correct. That defense, again, like, just if you're curious, go back and listen to our preview episodes. Nah, I don't know. I before this week, there was a world where you could have convinced me that the Eagles were semi-fraudulent, or that, like, at least Jalen Hurts was.
No. I never thought the Eagles were fraudulent. I think the big thing with the Eagles is they are banged up at the wrong time. I think the Jalen Hurts injury.
That's why I think Hurts is. Yeah. I think they're going to play all their starters this week. Like, get Hurts in that offense in a rhythm.
I think Hurts' injury is more severe than they're being let on.
I could buy that.
Throwing shoulder injuries.
I thought it was his non-throwing shoulder.
No, wasn't his throwing shoulder. Regardless.
Big producer.
Or like a clavicle. I heard a clavicle and stuff like that today on the TV. I think it's more than being let on. And then you get the quarterback, they got to wear more protective gear. All of a sudden, it just doesn't feel right. I'm telling you, and then Lane Johnson's injury. Josh Sweat went to the hospital yesterday. Like, I'm telling you, man, like, the Eagles, they have no flaws. But the injuries are starting to pile up. I'm just saying, you know, be careful. I think anybody's beatable in the NFC right now. And I'm telling you right now, do not sleep on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Do not sleep on Tom Brady. The Bucs stink.
Listen. Tom Brady, I've done this many times in my life where I've said there's no way. Do not rule him out. You cannot do it. They are getting healthier. They're getting Ryan Jensen back. They're getting Tristan Wirfs back. Their offensive line is getting better. He now has 2 weeks to prepare for the Dallas Cowboys, a defense that is struggling right now. And one thing we know about Tom Brady is he knows how to put these game plans together. I'm just saying, do not count out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Whatever. Like, I'm one of the people that just doesn't care. Like, I do not hate Brady like so many people hate Brady.
Me either.
So if, listen, he pulls it off, especially if he beats the Cowboys, fuck yeah.
And then the other one, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. If there is a season where a 7 seed can go win their conference and get to the Super Bowl, this is the year with the NFC.
Yeah.
Green Bay is getting it right at the right time. I mean, God, we're Giant fans. We know this, like, about getting healthy at the right time, getting hot at the right time. The Packers are that. And I think Rodgers has a lot of motivation. He wants to go to San Francisco and play the 49ers. As much as their fan base probably doesn't, he wants to play San Francisco. So I think it's going to be a wild NFC. I give any team in the NFC a shot because every team at the top is dealing with stuff. Dallas is dealing with with turnover problems with Dak Prescott. Their defense is not as good as we thought it was early in the season. Minnesota, we talked about them. San Francisco, I mean, what's Brock Purdy going to be like? So I'm telling you, man, buckle up. Buckle up.
I'm buckled up.
My man.
Wrapped in.
All right. Should we wrap it up?
Yes.
All right. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick and Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind of review. And we'll be back at least one more time this week. So we'll talk to you soon.
Peace.